Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Every good gift and every perfect gift. Chapter 7. The gift of the Holy Spirit, Part 3. Topic B. The strengthening of the inner man. In the previous chapter, we began to see that the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the making available of this gift on the part of the Heavenly Father and Christ so that the Holy Spirit may dwell in the hearts of those who believe in the Lord Jesus, is granted primarily so that the Christian may have a firm witness in one's heart of who one's Lord is and to keep oneself in growing fellowship with Him. When, however, we delve deeper into the Scriptures about the work and purpose of the gift of the Holy Spirit towards us, we can advance in the understanding that there are still several other purposes, but also that, in the same scriptures, there is the description of several aspects related to the ways and means by which the Holy Spirit works to establish in us the testimony and lordship of Christ, as well as other purposes. Thus, one of the central aspects highlighted in the Lord's word about the work of the Holy Spirit in those who believe in Christ is related to His work in what is called the inner man of a Christian. And this, with the goal of edifying and strengthening the inner man so that one may know and deepen oneself more in the virtues of the Lord Jesus Christ, as explained in the following text. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. In previous themes of the systemic teaching about Christian life, we have already seen that the inner man, in short, is the spirit of a Christian that is made alive by Christ when a person receives Him as Lord of one's life. The Scriptures also call the quickening of a person's spirit or granting a made alive spirit, through Christ, the new birth, which we have also covered in previous topics and is once more covered more extensively in the series on the new creature in Christ. In the subject entitled Work Out Your Own Salvation, we also address the importance of a Christian's inner man being built and strengthened according to what is pertinent to the inner man to grow and become established. Nevertheless, something that seems to us still necessary to approach more closely, concerning some fundamental aspects of the growth and establishment in the Christian life, is the aspect referring to the conditions or with which strength a person can fortify one's inner man, for the inner man is eminently a spiritual being, and not a carnal or so-called natural man. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If, on the one hand, it is crucial for a Christian to understand that one has received in Christ the inner man who is called to grow, to develop, and to be established in the Lord, on the other hand, it is also crucial for a Christian to receive the enlightenment of understanding on how or by what power or help one may accomplish what is appropriate for this inner man. And this last aspect is one of the main reasons for a Christian to become familiar with the gift of the Holy Spirit and to know this gift more deeply. As we have already mentioned in each of the several topics cited above, a Christian is not called to grow in one's inner man by one's own strength or by one's merely natural effort. Instead, a Christian is called to grow in one's inner man according to God's cooperation towards him or her, which has in the Holy Spirit the great practical expression of help towards those who choose Christ as their Lord. Therefore, a Christian is called to be strengthened by the power of God through the working of the Holy Spirit in one's inner man so that one can grow in Christ Jesus and the diversity of the greatness of His love. The Holy Spirit is given by God to enlighten a Christian's understanding of the greatness of Christ and His love. And this is for a Christian always to glorify the sovereignty of Christ. However, The Spirit of the Lord is also granted to give strength and power so that the Christian can be supported in the understanding and growth in the greatness of Christ towards one's life. The Holy Spirit is the agent of the Lord who strengthens each one of the Christians with the power of God so that they can understand what is made available to them in Christ, but also to help them to live and walk in the sublimity of what is offered to them in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Just as the Heavenly Father, through the Holy Spirit, taught Christ all things when the Lord was on earth, also as the Son of Man, as well as, through the Holy Spirit, He upheld and empowered Christ to carry out the heavenly will in everything and at all times, so similarly it is also with the gift of the Holy Spirit towards those who believe in Christ and who have Him as Lord of their lives. The work of the Holy Spirit towards those who, in Christ Jesus, are constituted children of God is not related to something vague, sporadic, abstract, or impersonal. On the contrary, the action of the Holy Spirit towards each Christian is a living and individualized work that consolidates and strengthens the inner man more and more, if the person who receives the Spirit of the Lord longs for it and allows it. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. The action of the Holy Spirit in the life of a child of God is the way defined by the Lord in which He generates in that child the inner firmness in faith, hope, and love of God. The Holy Spirit, granted as a gift to the heart of every person who receives Christ as the Lord of one's life, is given to the children of God to help them in their prayers to God, to know how to ask according to the will of the Lord, and to achieve this will in their lives. For this reason, it is so necessary that, from the beginning of the Christian life, the Christian becomes aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit in one's life. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In another text, which we repeat below, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that the Spirit is given to the children of God to guide them into all truth and to teach them everything they need to know from the Heavenly Father and Christ for their lives. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Additionally, yet another essential aspect that we believe needs to be re-emphasized about the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we see it associated with the function of strengthening the inner man, is that the bestowal of this gift to the children of God is not foreseen only for some supposedly special Christians or who reached some exceptional levels of a supposed differentiated spirituality, for this would be inconsistent since it is only by the Holy Spirit that a Christian can grow in one's spiritual condition. The gift of the Holy Spirit is foreseen to be given to every Christian from the moment of one's new birth to help this Christian to grow in one's condition of inner man and to be empowered to grow according to the will of God in other areas of one's life. Many Christians who have grown in their faith may not even be aware of the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, but even if they do not know the Holy Spirit by this specific name, all the real growth they have had in the inner man was accomplished by the Lord through His Spirit. Nevertheless, when a Christian who had not a more specific knowledge regarding the gift of the Holy Spirit starts to hear about the Holy Spirit and some key actions of the Spirit of the Lord towards one's life, One can have an even more intense growth and with more understanding, making one's growth more consistent and continuous. Jude 1:20-21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. A Christian can pray to the Lord according to the needs that one's five natural senses perceive. However, to grow more objectively or consistently, one can advance further in one's prayer life and begin to be guided by the Holy Spirit to understand what one should actually pray to God, which, in turn, can also lead him or her to be edified more intensely in the Lord. Through the Holy Spirit, a Christian can be led to ask well and rightly before God. And even when one lacks words, the Holy Spirit can intercede for this person with groanings which cannot be uttered or words and tongues that express what is necessary to be presented in prayer before the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. With enlightened understanding, the Christian can express what the Spirit of the Lord makes one understand to be the will of God and according to which one should pray. However, also aided by the Holy Spirit, the Christian can pray beyond what one understands and sees for the will of God to be established in one's life. Furthermore, when the inner man is strengthened by the Holy Spirit, a Christian also becomes established in delighting in the law of the Lord. And everyone who delights in the law of the Lord meditates on it continually and achieves victories in the Lord. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Psalms 1:2-3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. We understand that it is worth emphasizing at this point, as already widely seen in several other topics, that the mention of the law of the Lord is not a mention regarding the law of Moses, for the Christian is never called to submit to the law of Moses, nor the Holy Spirit is given to strengthen a Christian to keep the commandments according to the order of Aaron, the first priesthood, or the first covenant. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not granted to a Christian to live and walk in the oldness of the letter of Moses or some other law similar to it. The gift of the Holy Spirit is granted to Christians so that one can live and walk, by the Spirit of God, in the commandments and directions of the law of Christ, the law of liberty, given in a living way by the Lord for Christians to walk in the newness of the Spirit. Romans 7:6. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's heart is the way established by God so that this Christian can be taught and strengthened to live and walk according to God's will. Thus, through the Holy Spirit, the Lord makes provision for the Christian to know, understand, and walk in the truth and according to the will manifested by God in the New Covenant and related scriptures. Ezekiel 36:26-28. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Also in a text with words uttered explicitly by the Lord Jesus, Christ declares to us that his words are spirit and life, as follows. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. At yet another time, as we mentioned earlier, The Lord Jesus Christ also said that whoever drinks from the water he gives will see it becoming in oneself a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4, 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In this way, we saw, a little above, that the blessed individual is compared to the tree planted by the stream or rivers of waters, but we also saw that he who gives us the living word to meditate on it day and night, the water that strengthens our spirit and gives life, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, what we want to highlight here, in addressing the gift of the Holy Spirit, is that the means by which the Lord Jesus Christ gives us his word, so that we can understand it in a living way and apply it to our personal life in all circumstances, is the Holy Spirit. Returning, therefore, to the example of comparing man to the tree planted by the rivers of water, we can understand that the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is like the riverbed through which the water of Christ flows and reaches the hearts of those who believe in the Lord and seek to live and walk according to his will. Although the living word, the word of truth that supplies the thirsty and feeds the hungry, is delivered as a living word directly from the throne of the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, it is through the Holy Spirit that this word is presented in truth and life to the addressees who receive it as coming from the Lord, as the text we repeat below also teaches us. John 16, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Therefore, whoever receives the Holy Spirit and has a living and continuous relationship with him is, through the Holy Spirit, connected to the source of living waters, to the fountain of the river that emanates from the throne of God, and of him who is seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Revelation 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit is the one appointed by God to truthfully teach the hearts of Christians about this living water that the Lord addresses to them. And the Holy Spirit himself is also the bearer of the name of the Spirit of Truth and who in no way or under any circumstances teaches the words of the Lord in a distorted or corrupted way. Let us see once again the step-by-step that the Lord Jesus Christ himself explained to us so that we can be planted next to the streams or rivers of living water, as follows. John 7, 37-39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Reviewing, then, this last text above, we can see reaffirmed that the one who grants water from the rivers and that grants living water to the thirsty heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." This water, however, is granted to a person when certain aspects are fulfilled, as follows. First, when the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified as the Son of the living God, the risen Son of Man, and the source of life. Second, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of one's life. Third, when a person willingly receives the action of the Holy Spirit as the one who delivers life, the living Word, or the living water offered and granted by the Lord Jesus Christ. The living water, which comes from the throne of God, delivered through the Holy Spirit, makes a Christian like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Unfortunately, however, there are people who want the power of the Holy Spirit, want his coming, but do not want to surrender in humility to the source of all living water, namely, the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Revelation 21, 6. And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." 1 Peter 3, 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. The Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always work in perfect unity, and there is no shadow of variation in God. Therefore, there is no way for a person to receive the true word for the edification of the inner man, through the Holy Spirit, if one refuses to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Scriptures present him. On the other hand, there is also no way for a person to receive the word of Christ for one's life, as a living word, without receiving it through the Holy Spirit. As we saw at the beginning of this material, John the Baptist said that no one can receive anything that is not given from above. And the Holy Spirit, as the one designated by the Heavenly Father and the Son to inhabit the heart of the Christian, should always be honored, respected, heard, obeyed, and loved, for it is through his Spirit that the Lord imparts to the Christian all the life that one needs to live and walk in spirit and truth. Through the Holy Spirit, the Lord can always dwell in the heart of the person who surrenders to Christ. And this, to accomplish in an individual the edification and growth that the Heavenly Father wants a Christian to achieve as a child of God. The Holy Spirit is the complete and perfect representative given to us by God to strengthen, comfort, and guide us into all truth in all things we need. And the living relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit is essential for us to receive all that comes to us from God the Father and God the Son. Thus, whoever opens one's heart to receive the work of the Spirit of God in one's life, receives God the Father and God the Son. But whoever despises the Holy Spirit also despises God the Father and God the Son. Matthew 12, 31-32. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. In this way, after the resurrection of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the main envoy of God the Father and the eternal Son of the Lord to people in the world. For this reason, what the Lord says about the one he sends also applies to the Holy Spirit, and mainly to him, according to the text below. John 13, 20. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. John 16, 7. Nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And to conclude this topic, we would like to propose once again the reading of the text of Ephesians 3, quoted at its beginning, noting especially the participation of the Holy Spirit in the edification of our inner man and to what kind of growth he leads us in Christ and the Heavenly Father. Ephesians 3, 14-21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the Church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The Holy Spirit was sent by the Lord Jesus so that Christ might be glorified. And this, that through Christ and the body or church of Christ, the Heavenly Father may be exalted in all generations and forever and ever. The inner man strengthened by the Holy Spirit, then, is the one who comes to have a much sharper and more accurate perception of the Lord by whom one was called to a new life according to the new covenant. And by this, one is strengthened that one may, whether by words or deeds, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father in one's life. A Christian's testimony of Christ and the Heavenly Father, strengthened in the Christian by the Holy Spirit, is also a means of cooperation with the Christian's strengthening and victories because it is the way of truth and true eternal life. 1 John 5, 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Jeremiah 17, 7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The person blessed in God is the one who delights in the word of the Lord and who inclines one's heart to the voice of the Holy Spirit, through whom the Lord himself instructs his children in a living way for the present and also eternal life. Praised, then, be the Lord for the gift of the Holy Spirit, through whom we can always have the roots of the inner man accessing the river of living waters that emanate from the highest and sublime throne in all the universe, the throne of the only living God and creator of the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.